Hey, quality people. So after building this up for the last few weeks, we are finally tapping into the last few episodes and interviews for this segment of our podcast. And I am honored to have had these amazing guests, Dr. Nigel Brown and Avita Payton, reach out to me at a point in the podcast, honestly, where I just didn't know what to do or how I would want to go about closing out and kind of shifting directions with this podcast as I begin the process to launch a brand new show. So I remember just jokingly mentioning to Avita, maybe over a year ago at least, that I hadn't been a guest on my own podcast. And sure enough, she recalled it. And not only that, but she even brought in Nigel for the two of them to do this tag team throwdown knockout of an interview as a way to really help me wrap up this entire series. Now, if you can imagine, I've just, you know, personally had so many things that I wanted to touch on to tell the story of the podcast. So where our normal episodes, on average, I can tell you the statistics, on average, our normal show lasts about 52 minutes. We booked this call for an hour and a half just so, you know, Avita and Nigel could get kind of oriented. I taught them a few things about how to go about being not necessarily a host, but just, you know, the whole flow for the interviews, I guess. And 3 hours later, we finally wrapped up this call and this interview. So because the interview took about 3 hours, I'm officially breaking this into the first ever three-part series. And then we will officially transition back into the best of series just as a way to wind the show down over the next several weeks. So quality people, with no further ado, let's go ahead and jump into part one of three. And I guess I'm officially the guest in the hot seat. I really hope that you all enjoyed the first part of this conversation. Please reach out and let me know what you all think, because this has truly been an amazing journey over the past 3 years just to get the podcast to this level of acceptance as a part of the healthcare quality improvement and patient safety movement. And I look forward to sharing more of this journey through the upcoming episodes. Again, Avita, Nigel, thank you both so much for giving your time and your support. Honestly, just your friendship and all the support that you've given me over this journey as well. Quality people, we will be right back next week with parts two and then part three. But again, enjoy, and we'll be talking soon. All right, quality people, welcome to this very special episode of the Healthcare Quality Cast. I am your host today, Jarvis Gray, but guess what? I am completely turning over the host microphone to two amazing, very special colleagues and friends. First up is Mrs. Avita Payton. Next up is Dr. Nigel Brown. Avita, Nigel, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jarvis. Good to be in this position today.
Yeah, very exciting position. Hello, quality people. Does it sound strange hearing a different voice say the familiar Jarvis greeting?
Well, I am nervous. You're excited. I am completely nervous. But Avita, Nigel, I just share with you both, you know, for the last few weeks leading up to today's conversation, I've been doing what I'm calling the best of the Healthcare Quality Cast, which has given me a chance to just go back, you know, in hip hop culture, right? We say go and dig through the crates, right? That's when we go look for the classic hits to all the different music and things we want to do. And that's kind of what I've been doing with the podcast. And over the last couple of weeks leading into today's conversation, I posted Nigel, your episode, and just a quick chance to reflect, but to reintroduce the quality people to you and the great things that you were doing at the time. I don't know if you remember, Nigel, but you were like episode number 17 in this entire journey for the last 3 years. And Avita, yours just got published. Well, it will have been published this following week, right before this conversation. And Avita, if my memory serves, I think you were number 42. in the entire path. So again, the audience has had a chance to kind of reconnect with you all, and I'm honored that you all are giving me a chance to kind of get on the other side of the microphone. I'm nervous, but if I had to do it for anyone, you two are truly the only folks I would be open to sitting in the hot.
Yeah, we are looking forward to this, and for all of the people in the Quality Cast world out there, you know, don't worry, you did not select the wrong podcast today. You will get to listen to a very special episode of the Quality Cast, and this is an episode where, as Jarvis has alluded to, where the tables are turned, and Jarvis, the founder of the Quality Cast, gets to answer his own list of famous questions.
Yes, finally, we get to hear his responses to these famous questions. And also, this episode comes at a very pivotal time for Jarvis and his future plans for his podcast. And yes, I'm going to stop right there because that is meant to be a teaser. More to come on that. But first, some introductions.
And yes, I am Nigel Brown. Jarvis, thank you for referring to me as Dr. Nigel Brown, but I'm Nigel Brown. this is podcast. I was on podcast episode. Jarvis, I think you said 17 or 14. I can't recall.
Yeah, I believe it was 17.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm joined by
Evita Payton. And I know my episode was somewhere in there between the 40s and the 50s.
42.
Yeah. Yes.
That's been a nice journey itself right there. But together, we want to introduce you to today's podcast interviewee. Yes, yes, Jarvis Gray. And Jarvis, of course, as you all know, is the founder of the Quality Cast, a podcast he began in 2019 to share the good practices and thought leadership amongst quality and improvement practitioners in healthcare.
Yes, he has accomplished 168 episodes to date. Wow. Which has included some pretty notable interviews with internationally recognized professionals like Quint Studer and Mark Graben.
Yes, a lot of great people in these episodes that Jarvis has had. And I must admit that it really enlightened me and introduced me to a lot of professionals that I was not even aware of that even right. existed out there. I mean, this is a large pool of professionals out there in this quality arena. And some of them are not really that far away. I mean, Jarvis has really been able to bring them and connect them, connect us all together with them. So thank you for that. But even beyond the over 10,000 minutes of insights that Jarvis has brought to his listeners here on the Quality Cast, and at the end of the day, his sharing doesn't stop here. Jarvis is an entrepreneur, and he works as an independent consultant with various healthcare organizations to walk alongside those in need of direct operational and strategic project support.
So without further ado, let's start the chat with our esteemed interviewee, Jarvis Gray.
Yeah.
Well, I already have to say that you guys have already exceeded expectations, because I that is probably the best overview and intro that this show has ever received. And I don't say that because it's about me, but just like, you know, I freestyle about 80% of the show. You know, there's my standard script, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going off script. That was beautiful. I just want to give you all props already. Like, we're done. Show over. Let's go.
Thank you, Jarvis. That's encouraging. I know Nigel and I are not as well versed in hosting podcasts. So very nice compliment.
Yes, yes, yes. I definitely appreciate that. So Jarvis, you know, this has been a great and continued a journey for you. And it's been a nice path that you've sort of taken. You know, we would really like to know about this path that you've taken. And you sort of start out with your questionnaire there. If you can just give us a little bit of insight about the questionnaire and how that sort of came about with the interview questions that you asked.
Yeah, so when I first had the idea for the podcast, it was very much influenced by another podcast called Entrepreneurs on Fire. And it's a great podcast if you all ever check it out, but it's very much geared towards entrepreneurs and business owners. But the way that the host of that show has a very standard set of questions, when I had the idea for this podcast, I was like, you know, I think I want standard work. So that was the first part. And coming up with the questions was actually fairly easy from that mindset. With the work that I was already doing with SHS and, you know, the chance to connect with quality people to help them do webinars at the time. I was over the programs committee. And I just thought about the questions that I wanted to ask after watching many of the great webinars from other leaders who would plug into that forum. You know, it's one thing to watch a really good webinar or go to a conference and see a presentation and be like, okay, they gave really good information about their projects or research or whatever. But then I was like, what about the person, right? So that's how a lot of my questions came about. You know, Nigel, what does success look like for you? What does failure look like for you, not your project teams and your organizations? I just wanted to know more about the people and kind of what got them to that path. You mentioned, you know, Mark Graben and Quinn Studer. You know, how many times do you get to just ask leaders in those positions, like, you know, just what was your biggest failure, lessons learned, what drives you? I can't remember. I think I may have mentioned it in the recent best of episode with Quinn Studer, but you know, I got on the phone with him and he gave me about an hour of his time before he was finally ready to have the real podcast conversation. Wow. So, you know, just wanting to know more about people is really what drove those questions, Nigel. It was, you know, just me trying to think of what could be a personal question, but still applicable for us as professionals, given whatever path we're trying to go down.
Wow. Yeah, that's great background and insight, Jarvis. And, you know, since we're talking quality, there's several different types of qualitative research and studies. And of course, interviewing falls right in there with the different types. So you almost have to put yourself in a different perspective with this as far as becoming the interviewer and the interviewee. But as far as how you gave us some background as far as how you, where the questions came from and some of your style. So Jarvis, what was one of your major learnings from this, as far as interviewing people and digging and probing and getting Avita to come out with these things and getting myself and then the greats, the Quint Studers and the Mark Gravens, you know, what did you learn from that?
That's a good and a hard question, because I'll say I learned a lot more than I could have ever thought. You know, I'll give you a little bit of background. So what got me to do the podcast? Let me kind of set that bar, because then what I got out of it, again, exceeded any expectations that I would have guessed when I started it. At the time when I started the podcast, not too long after kind of getting my business, basic business model stood up. And I was working with a coach who made a comment like, I had zero internet presence. Like, I'm not big on social media or anything. So there is this famous, entrepreneur guru, Gary Vaynerchuk. And the coach, she was really big on Gary V and basically was like, you need to do what Gary V is doing. And if you ever follow him, you'll literally see he believes like you have to post your entire life on social media. Wow. And that just was not a fit for me, but I did some research and thought about the things that I was doing. And again, the impact that I wanted to have. And so I was like, okay, let me create a podcast to do exactly what I just kind of mentioned with the last question. But the background or part of the motivation was just, I needed presence for my business. So I kind of went at it with that mindset. Let me just create something that'll give me presence and it'll draw some eyeballs to the work that I'm doing as well. And then you start having conversations with leaders, right? You start actually learning from everybody. I mean, the two of you and all the other amazing folks who have been on the platform. And then I found that I was as big of a fan of you all as healthcare leaders. And I'm literally sitting and taking notes throughout the conversations. But then I get this extra task of getting the shows prepared. And then the shows get published. And then I find myself listening to the show again as a fan. So I'm literally hearing the shows 2 to 3 to 4 times, depending on how much work is needed to prepare it. So yeah, I'm learning first and foremost, we're all people, right? We all have the basic needs of learning, trying to move our careers forward, move our families forward. Everybody is so passionate about the work they're doing to improve the state of their communities and their organizations as leaders, as quality people. And that was kind of a double play on words, right? So we're quality people. Most of everyone on the show has some connection to quality, process improvement, but we're all good people too, right? So just quality people. You know, everybody is driven. All of just about everybody kind of came into the path on accident. Not a lot of the leaders who have connected on the show had this vision like, I want to do process improvement. We all just kind of got into it some way. We were attracted to this work, to the purpose. I mean, those are just high level. There are so many, like I have a list of some of my favorite quotes that I've learned from everybody. Just takeaways. Like I for the first year and a half, I just kept the notebook of everything. And then it just got too much. And I was like, I really need to figure out a better way to capture the learnings from all the episodes. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're people, giving people a platform. That was another learning, especially for anyone who listens and wants to network better. I mean, I learned how to become a beast on LinkedIn to appropriately stalk people and pull them into, you know, onto a podcast. A lot of folks were strangers. The earlier episodes were people that I knew, but Avita, when I reached out to you,
we did not know each other. Yeah.
We didn't know each other, right? And now we've had so many great conversations, but yeah. Just the power of networking and building a network of the people that you want. The show that I mentioned earlier, Entrepreneurs on Fire, that host has a saying, you are the average of the 5 people in your circle. So look at all the people in this circle for the podcast now, right? These are people who are literally in my phone, but I wanted to also give them to our listeners. And everybody's been so awesome. Like, hey, yeah, if people listen to this episode, give them my contact information, tell them to reach out to me. So now they can literally be in your circles as well. So that's so much. I mean, probably more, but I could probably keep on talking, but those are many of the takeaways.
Oh, Jarvis, that was fantastic. A lot of great insight there as far as your journey. And clearly you've learned a lot from this that goes beyond just asking questions and probing. I mean, you've given the world right now several takeaways as far as how to potentially do something that close to what you're doing. So that's fantastic. Thank you for that response, Jarvis.
I really
got to tell you that was just a warm-up. That's just a warm-up. Vita, go ahead.
Well, you know, I was going to say, Nigel, I agree with you. What I liked about what you shared there, Jarvis, is that it seems that your approach allowed you to see the commonality that of what the people who are involved in these types of work and healthcare share. There's some serendipity that brought them to this work. And there's a lot of passion and a willingness to share. And I love that your want to connect people and share reveals that there's a whole community out there that is willing to do the same. And they're only a podcast away. So I really, really am thrilled to hear that. And I think it plays into how you shaped the start of your show. You ask about positive affirmations the things that inspire those folks that you're revealing to us. So we want to do the same with you today. Could you please share a favorite leadership quote or mindset, Jarvis, but also tell us why it appeals to you and how you apply this mindset on a daily basis?
So I know the listeners won't see this, but the two that are actually on the board right behind me on my wall, these are things that I come into my office every day and I purposefully kind of look at them. There's a lot of stuff on my wall behind me, but the first one is all about, his name is Pastor Eric Thomas. If you all Google him, or maybe I'll even connect it into, the link for this conversation. He has this motivational speech where he talks about this young guy who asks an older successful guy, like, how'd you become successful? And they're on a beach and the guy's like, okay, well, if you want to know, walk out with me. They walked into the water, and I'm paraphrasing big time. But to hear him tell it, like, you can't help but be pumped up, if you actually hear him tell the speech. But basically, the older guy grabs the younger guy, sticks his head under the water, and holds him there until the guy's fighting for dear life, right? And then he finally lets the kid up. And the older guy says, if you want to be successful, you have to want it as much as you want it to breathe right there in that moment. And when I heard that, I mean, it just stuck with me for everything that I'm doing, from the transition from my corporate career into my business. That's just a mindset that plays into me every day. I want to be so successful that it has to be as important to me as it is to breathe every single day. And then the other one, I wrote it up here just because I haven't found the right picture for it yet. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't wait for opportunities, I create them. And that's just, again, it's a mindset. Today, every day I come in with my to-do list and I try to target my, top three things that I got to do, to get done. And that's where I'm at. I'm not waiting for the opportunities. I'm not asking permission. I don't care if it's allowed or not allowed or whatever barriers. I'm going to create an opportunity. I'm going to try to create a couple of opportunities for myself, for my customers, the clients that I'm serving, for my family or friends when they reach out to me and it's like, hey, Jarvis, I need this information or this connection, and I brainstorm with them, but I'm all about just creating the opportunities. And it's not a wish, it's not gonna be a prayer, it's gonna be get up off your butt, go create an opportunity, pick up the phone, make a connection on LinkedIn, whatever it is. But those are just the two mindsets that have driven me for, I don't know, the last 4, 5, 6 years, at least now, daily affirmations. It's time to find success and it's time to create opportunities.
And those two seem to complement each other pretty well. The passion and the drive to pursue what you want, and then the ability to create that plan and be systematic and not just hope for something, but to figure out how you're going to do it day in and day out, the actions that will lead you to achieve that success. Really nice. And for those who can't see it, he has these posters that look like they're on the clouds, like you're shooting for the stars, right? It almost gives that appearance. Yeah. So very nice visual. So I guess we'll have to stay tuned to how you visualize that last one there, that you make them happen. You make those opportunities happen.
Yes. And Jarvis, I have to say, Pastor, I think it's Eric Thomas, Dr. Eric Thomas.
Yeah.
I would have to say over the past couple of years, one of the most motivating people that I've listened to over the past couple of years. If he doesn't get you pumped up, then you might want to go get checked out.
Yeah, I follow so much of his content, on social media, but I mean, and he has a lot of good stuff. But that one story, again, I severely probably didn't do it any real justice. But when I heard that one, that's the one that resonated. And there's a lot of other drive type of mindsets that I try to approach everything with. And I, you know, when I get the chance to coach other people up, again, those were hopefully a lot of threads that came out of so many of the great episodes is, you know, we are blessed with a very unique mindset as healthcare leaders, where if we are waiting for others to kind of point us in the right direction to utilize our full talents, our full skill sets, we're going to be in trouble. Healthcare is going to be in trouble, right? Because if healthcare was ready to fix itself, we wouldn't need a job. So, you know, that's still the same mindset that I would, you know, that I would want to leave with all of the listeners 100 years from now, right? Is we just have to do the things that make us unique and make us exceptional and go fix healthcare, go fix, you know, the insurance agency. You know, it's not all about the hospitals, go fix pharma. You know, there's so many things that need to be fixed and we are the right people. And I believe that. So yeah, let's get up and go make it happen. Don't ask permission to fix things. Nobody ever complained because things got better. So
yeah. Well, Jarvis, and Abidu, I know we'll probably have to cut some of this, but I just got to say this. Jarvis, the mindset that you're describing, I don't know if this is something that you've learned just within your healthcare role. And I mean, we're really going to probably have to cut this, but I don't know. I think this drive, this hustle mode, I'm hearing a little bit of Miami University of. I'm hearing a little bit of that drive, that hustle mode, that make it happen, bring it home type of vibe to this now, Jarvis. So
it is in there. You know, it's funny, and trust me, you know, let's have a conversation. If I need to edit or tweak things, we'll figure that out. But you know, it is funny you say that. I was having a conversation with someone maybe about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, again, I was standing on my perch and it was like, yeah, you know, come on, we got it. And they were like, they said the same thing. They were like, you know, you're bringing this mindset, like, even if we suck, we are just going to fight and we're going to figure it out and be the best. And I was like, that's what I'm built on. And it's so funny, when I was at the University of Miami, I think I was probably not introverted, but, you know, I was just relaxed. You know, there were so many other great guys and people that I, you know, learned from during that time. But now that I'm in my own business and the things I do as a professional, that has come through, and I've checked myself, but somebody else called it out some time ago. So, and I never would have guessed 25 years ago, you know, that I would be embodying that mindset now. But again, I think that's what we all need. We need that wake up moment as professionals. You know, I'm sure you all are familiar with the mindset. Like, you have to love what you do so much that you'd be willing to do it for free if you had to, right? And that's where I'm at least professionally today. Of course, we have to pay bills. We got to make a living. I know. But if what you're doing, would you do it for free if you could afford to live any other way? And if the answer is yes, you're in a good spot. So,
yeah, I think it's helpful to land somewhere where you can do a cross section between what you love doing and what people can pay you for, ideally, right? But I like what you're emphasizing here is that passion that it gets you up in the morning, right? Like, this is something that inspires you. And I think that is contagious. When you love something, other people notice it, and it kind of, it's like passes it forward in a way. And to your earlier point, with so many opportunities for improvement in healthcare, and so many, especially when we think about the pandemic, opportunities for us to help the burnout, I think having that love for what you do helps address that need that team members in healthcare could benefit from. And I think, Jarvis, we want to make sure we can hear explicitly your current role, and how would you kind of summarize what your professional background is and what led you to what you would describe as your current role?
Yeah, so right now I am still very much serving as a coach and consultant for businesses and business owners. So I'm doing a mix of working with large corporate groups. One of my current clients, for example, is an organization that has had a tremendous amount of growth during the pandemic, and now they're a $1 billion organization. So I'm doing some coaching and training for them around all elements of strategy and quality and process improvement. Operational excellence is the umbrella they're putting it under. But over the last maybe 7 to 10 months, I've also found a unique niche. Again, things that I hadn't planned on and just opportunities that came about to also coach, business owners up on how to start and or grow their businesses. So I've been working with, I'm currently working with 6 business leaders, folks who are trying to grow their own business. And most, funny enough, are healthcare people. And a couple of folks are not healthcare. One partner, for example, she has her own bakery and she's trying to grow it. She's currently doing several $100,000 a year and she wants to grow to a $1 million organization. So I'm learning more and more every day to be a better business coach on top of just being a process improvement expert. But that's where I am. I had the chance to jump 100% into my business back in early 2021. So I'm still getting, getting used to shaking my corporate mindset and fully embodying, being a business owner. And hopefully one day I will accept that I'm an entrepreneur. But, I tell everybody I'm self-employed. If I don't work, I don't eat. So I am driven to get out every day and just make an impact.
And Jarvis, was there a point in your life where you had that clarity that this was the path forward? And could you share with us what that spark moment was?
Yeah, so I came into healthcare. I feel like I came in late. So I was about 27, 28 when I came into healthcare, started at Duke Hospital with an amazing cohort of leaders that were, peers. We were all kind of in the same professional group. And then looking up to the folks who were ahead of me, I was really inspired by the leader at the time at Duke. His name is Kevin Sowers, and I believe he's at Johns Hopkins now as serving as their president and CEO. I was inspired by him while at Duke. He was our COO. So right then, brand new into healthcare, I was like, I want to be a COO. And so I gave myself a plan. I wanted to be a COO by the time I was 35. And I went and sat with our VP of HR and I crafted this long-term plan to grow as an administrator. And I spent every year kind of building, and I speak about it on the podcast. I came up with my annual, personal building plan, my personal fiscal year. And she was the one that inspired me to do it. So I was fortunate at 27, 28 to connect with her, came up with a game plan. So every year I break down the 2 to 3 goals that I'm pushing for and did that for several years. By the time I turned 35, I was interviewing for my first COO role. And as I prepared for that interview, I was like, I don't think I want this anymore. It was an honest conversation with myself. I was like, I've done so much. I had met so many people. I had achieved so many certifications and professional developments. And, I'd already started teaching at Emory around their Lean and Six Sigma plan programs. And I was just kind of in a moment where I was like, I was watching other leaders and people. This was pre-pandemic, of course, and people already stressing and burning out and the amount of hours that people were giving to be leaders. And I'd already been a director for an emergency department. And I was literally working like 19 hours a day. And I was at a point where I wasn't having fun. And so I realized right then, and I didn't get that job opportunity, but I kind of checked the box, right? I was like, by 35, I want to be in a position where if I want it to be, I can pursue it further. So with all of the things I built, I was like, I think I want to go back to doing project work. So I actually kind of intentionally started looking for roles that put me back in a position where I didn't have to formally lead people. I can get back to doing projects, and that's what I really enjoyed. Until the very last position where I was at WellStar serving as a lean consultant, but I was still, you know, kind of had the business was the side hustle at the time. And then I was just like, let's grow a business. So I had my daughter she was 3 months old, 12 o'clock at night. And I was like, I think I'm going to start a business. And I went onto LegalZoom and I put in the LLC, you know, it was like 30 minutes and $300 and I had a business. And now I have to figure out how to be a business owner, you know? So, I mean, I wish I could say like I had this very strategic plan laid out and I did a business plan. I was just, you know, I was kind of in my feelings and Evita, that's what came out. I was like, I think I want to find my own path. If I'm going to work 60 hours a week, I want to do it for myself and I want to be successful and figure out what that feels like. So that was literally it.
What an amazing story. And I know, Nigel, I think we both know Jarvis enough to say we're not surprised with how you can create an elegant plan. But to know that where you're truly happy right now came from maybe not having it all spelled out, and that you have been able to build it as you go, and it's been working well for you, that's you know, that's sometimes a message that maybe we don't all hear too often. There's more than one way to get at a goal, and approaches are varied. And so it's really great to see how your story varied in your approach and how you're very, like you said, you've achieved the fun that you were seeking in your career.
Yeah, there's another mindset. I will say this is officially one of my most favorite quotes in life. It's Martin Luther King, which is, you don't have to see the entire staircase to take the first step. So that's another one where, you know, I just kind of went on faith. I was like, let's do it. I'll figure it out as I go. And I spent the first maybe 3 years of my business just kind of getting a feel for what I wanted to do, because I know what my skills are. But then I was like, well, if I'm just going to do what I can do in a full-time job, then I might as well stay in a full-time job. So I wanted to really figure out how to be unique in the things that I was doing.
That is fantastic. Jarvis, I think you provided a lot of information just as far as your journey, because, you know, one of the questions that we definitely wanted to ask you is, you know, well, how come you just couldn't end up like 90% of us and just have the 9-to-5? And, you know, well, I guess it wasn't comfortable enough. And, you know, you got to a point, you know, where you're interviewing and you're able to say that, wow, I do not want this. So thank you for that background and insight.
Yeah, no. And it's funny, I think my wife would still want me to be in 9-to-5, because, you know, having a consistent income, you know, I miss those days. So it can be feast or famine. But again, I think you just kind of, you have to know you have to know yourself, one, and what you're willing to risk. And of course, if you know, you're married, got a partner, see if they are willing to tolerate the risk that you're willing to tolerate as well. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm learning now, I thrive off of chaos a little bit more than I originally realized. So, you know, the time it takes to now, you know, pursue a potential customer, to develop a relationship, and to where they're willing to trust you to do projects or support training programs and things that I offer, you know, it keeps me going in a way that I really thrive off of. And I'm slowly but surely getting better and better at it. So, you know, it's a totally new learning process. But all the skills that we do as process improvement professionals, I mean, it prepares us, I think, very well if we want to be leaders in our organizations. And again, I can't say entrepreneurship is for everybody. I can't say corporate life is for everybody. But that passion still to see folks with our talents and our skill sets at the head of any organization, whether it's corporate or if you do it for yourself, what we are already prepared with, it sets us up very nice to make that decision.
Yes, that's fantastic. So Jarvis, with all that being said, it doesn't necessarily lead an individual into wanting to be a guest speaker. It doesn't necessarily lead an individual into wanting to speak and participate in all of these conferences. It doesn't necessarily lead an individual into necessarily teaching or coaching on an individual one-on-one basis for businesses and organizations. And it doesn't necessarily lead an individual and want to create lean or do a lean coffee, a start lean coffee session. So tell me a little bit, you know, I mean, what evolved and how this guest speaking thing evolved and what are some of the things that more directly led you into this? Because a lot of us are still not necessarily doing all of that. And you were able to embark on those journeys.
Yeah, again, this is what happens when you probably don't have a plan and you're willing to just say yes to stuff, right? So let me talk about the lean coffees first, because again, that was a unique, I don't know, starter to everything that you just mentioned, Nigel, and everything that has come since. But when I first moved here to Atlanta, I was looking for the community of professionals to connect with, and it just wasn't around at the time. So again, this was when I was very heavy with SHS. We came up with some ideas to try to encourage people to do lean coffees here and there. And the way that I started doing them here in Atlanta led to me like creating a meetup page, and I just posted it on Meetup over the course, and I only just closed the meetup group maybe about 3 months ago, funny enough. I almost had about 1,000 people in the meetup groups. Pre-pandemic, we were getting together every 4 to 6 weeks, like with a really good consistency. But that is what really kind of started, I guess, getting me into the mindset of becoming a networker. And then I would say that meetup group with the Lean Coffees eventually evolved into the podcast. And then the podcast getting visibility, and it's gotten a tremendous amount, almost 70,000 downloads over the last 3 years, which I don't know if that's good or bad in the world of podcasting. I've seen statistics that on average, a podcast gets only about 150 or so downloads per episode. I do triple that for most episodes. And we're talking about something that's very niche and not that sexy. You know, I never fooled myself to think like, I'm going to be the next Joe Rogan, right? We're talking about healthcare, lean, Six Sigma, quality, leadership. Like, you have to be very interested to pay attention to this podcast. But I got great downloads, which caught the eyes of a number of folks who have invited me to come speak or create a presentations. I'll be doing a workshop next month for ASQ. And again, you know, my approach to things is that, you know, ASQ, that is the worldwide leader for quality in my eye. And then I looked at the other guests who have already done presentations for them. And they've had folks like Paul Akers, who is an amazing speaker, and he has a fantastic book, one of my favorite books about lean. And I was like, I'm not doing this, you know, you know, like I'm on the wrong, I'm not going to ASQ to tell a group of Lean Six Sigma professionals my view on lean, right? So I was like, no, we're going to talk about what I do that I don't think they figured out yet, which is how to create a brand for yourself. So that's, I can't even remember the formal title, but that's going to be the concept. Like, how do we as quality people leverage our passions, our interests into creating a podcast, creating a blog, creating a website, a network, meetup group or whatever. These are things that I think we can still do better to let people know, like, quality is cool. It's okay to talk about defects. How do we fix it? We can come together as a community and collaborate. I remember one of my meetup groups, we were all here in Atlanta, you know, the different factions of organizations here in Atlanta. And I was telling somebody, I was like, yeah, I just had a meetup group and we had Wellstar and Piedmont and Emory and like all these professionals from different organizations collaborating about the issues. And we came up with some good ideas. And folks were like, oh my God, you're talking to people from these. I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I? Like, we all have the same issues. So it was really, I think, Nigel, when you open your mouth and show people that you're interested or you're willing to just put yourself out there, then I don't know, the energy of the universe kind of draws people, the right people in. And that's all. I've just opened my mouth like, hey, let's start a meetup. Come hang out with me and grab coffee and donuts and we'll talk about quality or whatever. So that's a long answer, but I mean, it's really just, I don't know, just putting it out there, man.
No, it's a fantastic answer. And it's great how, I like how you connected everything and went through the alignment of everything. That's being out there led you to the guest speaking and the things like that from the lean coffee. But Jarvis, I can't leave this out because I think in my view right now that you probably have this large three-story studio that you're recording from as you built this whole brand and this business. But can you give me a little bit about that journey? I mean, how do we access? Where's your studio located? And how did that sort of begin as well? I don't want to miss this portion.
All right. So this is going to be, I guess, the funniest part. Again, so when I decided to start the podcast, I went and bought a book. I was looking to see if it was on my shelf, but I bought this book to basically, you know, how to start a podcast in 60 days or something like that. And they tell you, you know, everything you need. And there's a long list of all the superpower microphones and the mixers and all this equipment. And unfortunately, I went out and bought some of that stuff. I invested money, you know, I thought I needed all this stuff. And now there's literally sitting in my corner over here. You know, so I'll tell the story. The very first episode was with Maria France Abernathy. And for that, you know, I finally kind of simplified my recording process. I used to use a phone service. So basically we'd call each other up and dial into this phone service that would record the conversation. But I, you know, I have a packed house. You know, we have a small house and my wife and my two kids. And so I was like, all right, for this very first episode, very important one, I was going to go to the library. Went to the library and all of their rooms were booked. So then I was like, oh, I got to figure it out. Let me shoot back home. And I couldn't get home in time. And so I just like pulled over and went to a park. So now I'm in the park in the first episode. So I don't really have the script memorized. So I'm trying to fumble around with the script. And, you know, with my, I had a huge headset with a microphone and calling into the line. And Maria absolutely killed it. She did an amazing job. Episode number one, literally, was me sitting in a park on the phone for about, I don't know, at least an hour, hour and a half. And I feel like I'm the weird guy and all I need is a cop to pull up behind me. It was like, you've been hanging out here a little too long, right? So those were my fears in the middle of trying to figure out how to be a podcast host. I was teasing Avita just a little bit, Nigel, when we first jumped on here. Avita was my first Saturday morning conversation. I think I completely scared her when I came on and, you know, she cut off her video and she had it like pointing at the ceiling for a little bit. But on the other side of that, Avita, I don't know if you realize, but I was in my garage.
I did not realize that. No, because I, you know, I'm very familiar now using video conference, but at the time it wasn't something I don't think very many people pre-pandemic right? were doing it. And I was in my PJs and I realized, oh my goodness, I just met this professional and I just showed I'm in my PJs. So let me like turn the screen up to the ceiling until I figure out how to turn the video off.
But no, that was literally an early morning. I don't know. It was like maybe 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. I'm standing in my garage with a, I don't know, some weekend t-shirt on myself. So yeah, Nigel, there has been no professional setup. This now is the most professional, where I do have a decent microphone. I finally, because of the pandemic, we had my wife, you know, she's been working from home for 2 years now. The kids are still home. So I rent an office that's about 2 miles away from my home. So I've slowly upgraded, but I've literally, I had a handheld device that allowed me to interview people in the spot. So I've been out at a conference and I've literally stopped people in the hallway and I've interviewed them. Cody Hall, amongst a number of other impressive folks. So the takeaway there, you know, I would share for everyone, it's not about trying to have this pristine, super, I don't know, you know, I chose to focus on quality of guests, quality of conversation, more so than, you know, the pizzazz of a you know, world-class podcast, I guess. But yeah, I've been in some weird spots, like just making it happen. When I was still working in corporate, you know, still at and running the podcast at the same time, I would block an hour on my calendar to make it look like I was in a meeting. And then I'd run to like a side room somewhere on the other side of the hospital and I'd interview people. And, you know, I'm like, hey, welcome to the health. You know, I'm trying to like do it and make it sound professional. But the fact is, like, I'm in a room trying not to draw too much attention so that people would just like come and be like, Jarvis, what are you doing? So I just made it happen, man. Like I said, we don't wait for the opportunities. We create them. And some of these guests, like, I want to respect their time and I didn't want to reschedule. So yeah, I've been in some weird places just trying to make it happen.
My goodness. That is an amazing story, an amazing journey, Jarvis. You can probably just, I can see that be the opening for some movie that'll be coming out. And yeah, you're talking about going in a hustle mode. You were making some things happen.
Yeah, you know, that there's so many episodes. There's a handful of episodes where they were late at night because of folks on the West Coast. I'm trying to accommodate their times. Mm. And like my daughter, you know, she was at an age where she still got up out the bed and she'd come and, you know, I'd call it out. All right, guys, my co-host is here and Amelia, and, you know, she'd be talking or something in the background. So you know, and that I thought personally was really cool. I wanted to keep things very authentic. So that was intentional. And then Nigel, one last thing, when I first started this podcast, I especially like that very first one with Maria, I would download the episodes and I have this software that lets me go through and edit everything. And so for the first, maybe at least 10 to 20 episodes, I would listen to everyone and I would literally listen for the ums and the uhs, you know, those vocal fillers. And I was slicing each one of those out. And then I finally got to a point, I was like, I'm slicing out some of the most authentic things, you know, like that right there. You know, it was like, it's annoying, but it's still honest. And so again, I just made a decision to focus on the honest truth. There are some episodes where, you know, maybe the internet dropped out and dropped back in and I just left it in. I was like, you know, people got to realize, like, we are normal people trying to make a decent podcast, but the information, like if you pay attention to the information, you're not going to find this information anywhere else.
That is amazing. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, you're presenting it the way it is, and you're capturing the voice of the people.
That was it.
And that's amazing. Avita, I'm almost afraid to jump into some of these more specific questions regarding Jarvis's expertise. I don't know.
I know, but it's got to happen, Jarvis. You got to ask you your famous questions.
Bring it on.
Yes, but thank you for that, Jarvis. Thank you so much for that.
Quality people, thank you so much again for plugging in with today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please feel free to share it using the social media link posted in the notes below. I'd also be very grateful if you could subscribe, give us a rating, and also share feedback on what additional value we can bring to you through this podcast. That helps a lot with our show rankings and also with getting this great content out to healthcare leaders around the world. And if you want to engage with me directly, then please connect with me on LinkedIn, where I share additional resources, access to our QI community, and much more. All right, quality people, thank you again, and I'll see you back here next week when I introduce you to another quality guest.